Yesterday we had a chance to open up this sugya of how to keep your kitchen kosher, to open up this sugya of what a Jew needs to do, how involved a Jew has to be in the bishul in order for the bishul to remain kosher. What do you do when you have a Jew and non-Jew working together? And we spent time with the Gemara, the two halves of the Gemara, Lamechesna Malaf, Lamechesna Beis. And we had a chance to see several kashas that emerged from the Ramah and from the Gemara we shown him. And we began to see that a lot of these questions can resolve themselves once you look at a series of Rambams and try to figure out how the Rambam read the Gemara. So let's briefly sketch some of what we spoke about yesterday, and then we'll wrap things together, complete the picture, and come out hopefully also not only with the Kashas Miyushav, but with Halacha Lamasa as well. So the first kasha we had, you remember that the Lamechesna Amar Aleph, Lamechesna Beis, Lamechesna Av spoke about where a Jew begins the Bishul and a Nachri gets involved later. Lamechesna Beis was explicitly about the reverse, where a Nachri begins, Yibay Elohu, if the Nachri begins, can the Yisrael save things by getting involved later? The first kasha was that the Ramah in Sif Vav seems to explicitly ignore the Amoraim on Lamechesna Av. Rishmuel had said in the Gemara quoted Taina Mihachia Braisa to support it that the Yisrael begins and the Nachri continues as Mutter. The Amoraim on Lamechesna Aleph had limited that in two ways. The first one was that it's only mutter if the Yisrael himself already did a bishul. It's only mutter if the Yisrael himself already put in a place where it could cook. It could be the Nachri put in a better place. Nachri is makar of the bishul more. But it's only mutter, the Gemara says, if the Yisrael himself did something that could have alone cooked the food. The Ramah explicitly disputes that. Afilu ha'ya mizbasha b'lo siyu ha'akam, they wouldn't have cooked without the Nachri's involvement. Still, mutter. Tema, the Shach, the Taz, the Gra, they all wonder. Now the truth is we had seen that the Beis Yosef pointed out that it seems to be a problem with the Rambam and the Tur, but he said the Tur says it later, as Shulchan Aruch does in Sif Yud, but the Ramah disagrees. And he said maybe the Ramah really meant that, which is the Taz initially also suggests maybe that's what the Ramah really means. Taz's first approach is, well, and he says, if Elohai Mizbasha, maybe means it wouldn't have cooked as quickly, maybe it was to say what the Gemara was saying. Stuffy is not the simple reading in the Ramah. The Shach and the Taz do have another approach. They each say something else, which I think will be clear once we look at the other kashas and deal with the Ramah. So the first kasha was Ramah and Sivav is against the Gemara Lamechesam Rav. Ramah and Sivav seems to say Beferish. Even though the Yisrael did something insignificant to begin it, it's still mutter. The kasha number two, sort of a series of kashas, that all, if you like, link up to the second Ramah, the Sif, and the Ramah and Sif Zayin. And that was that when you get to Lamechesna Beis, there's a series of indications, unlike Lamechesna Aleph, where it's all about the Gidrei Bishul, Lamechesna Beis seems to ignore that. Lamechesna Beis, the Gemara itself, Nachma Yitzhak, when the Gemara raises the question, Yibayeluhu, of the Nachri began and the Jew gets involved afterwards, the Nachma Yitzhak says, it's a Kavachemer. It's a Kavachemer. Sure, the Gemara is the most important, which seems to be flat out against the Svara of Amar Aleph that's all about Kidrei Bishul. And it got worse. You go fight in the Gemara. Ravina says that if I light the fire and then the Nachri Christopher puts the bread in, it's mutter. Why? Why? I didn't do the bishul. In Hilchos Shabbos, I didn't do the bishul. I did the havara. But if I light a fire before the food is on the stove, before the food is in the oven, I light the fire. That's Melechus Mavra. It's not Melechus Bishul. Bishul is if the fire is lit first and the active bishul is when you place the food in the spot of heat. So we don't understand why Nachma Yitzchak says that the Gemara matters. We don't understand why Ravina says that the Shigiras HaTanur in advance is significant. And then Tosfos pushes even further. Tosfos says the Gemara says that it's all by Kiruv Bishul. So Tosfos says, I don't really understand how there could be a Machalokas HaGonim, whether Hashlachas Kisim is Matir or not. And yeah, and the Rosh goes on to say, yeah, the Hashlachas Kisim, so he's not so happy, maybe not. Oh, Mutuv Shishog Yilu Mizidim. The Tosfos says, Hashlachas Kisim, it's against the Gemara. It's Machalokas HaGonim, but it's against the Gemara, because again, probably, even if the food's already on the fire, Hashlachas Kisim on Shabbos is probably not an act of Bishul. You're likely not making any significant impact on the cooking of the food. Again, to throw a kisim into fire is Chil Shabbos Daraisa, because it's an act of Mavir, but it's probably not an act of Bishul. And then sort of this second kasha goes, so the fourth aspect of the second kasha, number one was the Kal V'Chomer, that all of a sudden we're focusing on the Gemara. Number two is Ravina's Bimatir based on Shkiras HaTaner, which is too early. Gemara seems too late, and too late to focus, and Shkiras HaTaner is too early. And then Hashlachas Kisim is too insignificant. And then finally, level four is the most insignificant of all, is what Tosis doesn't discuss, but some later Chachmi Ashkenaz discuss, and the Ramah quotes it, approving calmly. Ramah very calmly talks Hashlachas Kisim in Sif Zayin, and then he goes on to say, not only Kisim, but even Eish Me Eish. The Jew never walked into the kitchen. The Jew lights a candle in the living room, and the Nachri takes a candle and walks the candle into the kitchen and lights the fire, lights the stove, lights the oven with which he's going to cook and bake. So again, Ashkenazim would say that not only for baking, but even for cooking. So that's mamash atema, eish meish. I had nothing to do with the bishul whatsoever. In no way, shape, or form was I a part of the bishul. It could be I was asleep. I could have lit a candle and gone to sleep. As a matter of fact, if you have an old-fashioned gas stove with a gas oven with a pilot light, you could have done it a year ago. The Yisrael could have done it. He could be in a different continent. He could have no idea what's going on. He lit the pilot light, and then everything's happening, all the cooking. Every time the Nachli turns on the oven, so the rest of the gas spouts light from the one pilot light, and that's what heats up the oven. Eish meish. So that was sort of the second. So again, the first kasha was Ramon Sif Vav. The second kasha was all these four aspects of in the Gemara, in the Rishonim, in the Ramah, and then it's all wrapped up in the Ramon Sif Zayin, that we seem to be matir in ways that don't really relate to the bishul. And the third major kasha was Ramon Sif Tes. There's no Ramon Ches, there's no Ramon Yud. The only other Ramah, Ramah and Sif Tes, it's not really Ramah himself, it's the Mechaber Ramah, are debating how to paskin and Machlokas Rashba and Rush. Machlokas Rashba and Rush, which was, what would you do, the second point that the Gemara had made, the second limitation the Gemara had, Lama Chesam and Aleph, in the case where the Jew starts, is the Gemara said, if the Nachri gets involved before Machal Ben Drusai, it's going to be a problem if it came off the fire. If the Jew put on the fire, it stays on the fire. So it doesn't matter when the non-Jew gets involved, it remains mutter. But if the Jew put on fire, it comes off, and then the Nachri puts it back on the fire, so then we have to figure out. If the Nachri is putting it on before Machal Ben Drusai, then those are two separate potential Maasei Bishul. If the Machal Ben Drusai line is only crossed in the second round on the fire, so that means that is the Bishul and it was done by the Nachri, and that's a problem. That's how the Gemara understood Rabbi Yochanan's comment that once you make it to Machal Ben Drusai, then you're safe. I mean, if the Jew put it on but it came off, the Nachri put it back on, so it's only getting mukter if the first round on the fire, the Jew's round on the fire, already got you to Machal Ben Drusai. Then the Jew did the Bishul. So how about Fakert? Sivches is where Shulchan talks about that din, where the Yisrael put on the fire and then it comes off, Nachri puts it back on. Sivtes, they talk about the reverse. And this is, and you would think it should be parallel. That if the Nachri puts it on the fire and then takes it off, right? We said, again, Sivches, the Gemara Lamaches Amud Aleph, is where a Jew walks into the kitchen and discovers that the Nachrei put food on the fire. Oh, so you better, excuse me. The Gemara Lamed Chesam Beis is talking about a case. The Gemara Lamed Chesam Beis is talking about that's Sivav. Talk about a case where the Yisra, the Nachri put on the fire, but the Jew shows up and still on the fire. So then that's where Nachri said, good, the Jew can get involved at any point, it's still on the fire. Do something, raise the fire, stir it. Shine, you made it mutter. But let's say Ray came off. Not that the Jew comes into the kitchen and discovers the Nachri put the food on the fire, but the Jew comes into the kitchen and discovers the Nachri had put the food on the fire and taken it off. And now it's already on the counter. Or now it's already in the fridge. So the Rajba, Mechaber quotes the Rajba, logically, applying the same Svara Zamed Alf. Let's see who did the Bishul. So if the Nachri put it on the fire and it came off, if he Ray got Hamecha Ben Drusai, so if it's still on the fire, so you could jump in, that's the Maisa Bishul, you could jump in and be part of the Maisa Bishul too. It's Ray off the fire, so far fallen. It's too late. Nachri put it on the fire, got the machal b'drusai, took it off. That was the entire ma'aseh bishul done exclusively by the Nachri. So Rashba says, and that's what the Mechaber quotes, he would generally follow the Rashba. You have no recourse. And the Rashba's regular comparison of bias. A sefer we've been getting to know and love this year. If you're noticed, by the way, in the Haftarah, the source of the name Taras of bias is this past week's Haftarah. I think it appears elsewhere in Cheskel too. The Zos Taras Abayis. There he's talking about Beis HaMikdash, which itself may be, as an aside, interesting. I got to look in the Haggadah of the Rashba to see if that was part of his kavanah in the name. That you see not only the sort of like a Mikdash Ma'at perspective on one's home. Taras Abayis are the lachos of the home. Kashrus, the Nida, and so on and so forth. It was certainly a clever use of the term in Yechezkel, and presumably it's more than just literary cleverness, but presumably the Rashi was trying to hint at this message also, that that Sefer Kedusha, Kashrus, and Taras HaMashpacha is what can elevate the Kedusha of one's home. It can transform one's home into a vehicle for Kedusha. Mikdash Ma'at, as it were. Al Kol Panim. So the Rashba and the Taras Abayis, that's what the Mechaber is quoting in Shosef Tes, it says Kishen Kach. Same thing. He's very explicit about it. It's the same logic, you just flip it. If you want to make sure that crossing the line of Machal Ben Drusai happened on the Jew's watch. In the case of the Gemara Lama Chesna, if the Jew came first, so you want to make sure that it happened in the first round of the fire. If it was a Nachri for a Jew second, so you want to make sure it happened during the second round. And the Jew had it. But if the Nachri put on the fire, got the Machaber and took it off, the Rashba says, Aser! That's what the Machaber would like to pass him also. The Machaber is open to the fact that there is a dissenting view, so he says, B'makam Tzarech Gadol, Erev Shabbos, Erev Yontif, Hefz Merubos, so then he's willing to make like the Rosh, the Machaber sensitive test, but he would prefer to pass like the Rashba. While the Ramah says, I have no compunctions whatsoever on the Rosh, and no hesitations, you don't need Tzarech Gadol. It's a little bit of food, it's not a big deal. It doesn't matter. Heter Gomer. Totally comfortable with Rosh V'yesh Matirim B'chol Inyan V'chein Noagin Raman Siftes. So that's also a pass. Pella number three. Well, how does that work? He told me, on the one hand, as long as the Yisrael got to Machal Ben Drusai in his round, it's already mutter. If Yisrael was first. But he's telling me, on the other hand, if Yisrael was second, so he could put it back on the fire even though it's already three quarters cooked. He'll finish it off. How does that work? Now, you may notice, well, that sounds a lot like the logic of Nachum Yitzchak. The Gemar. Yisrael's at the end, that's even better. He'll do the Gemara. So what does this all mean? So what we began to see yesterday is if you look at the Rambam with open eyes and looking not only at what he does say but what he doesn't say, seeing what he's mashmir. So both the Riff and the Rambam. The Riff was the Rambam's great-grand-rabbi, his intellectual great-grandfather, the Rambam's father, Rabbeinu Maimon, was a Talmud of the Rimagash. who was a Talmud Muvak. Rambam certainly saw the Rimagash as an unusual Talmud Chacham, extraordinary, league of his own, and that he was like the senior supreme Talmud of the Rif. So the Rambam is comfortable disagreeing with the Rif, but more often than not, he is aligned with the Rif. The Rif is not mashmit the same way as the Rambam, but both the Rif and the Rambam are mashmit a lot of Lamed Chesam and Aleph. The Rambam in particular, we saw, he left out all those Amoraim, all the discussion of the later Amoraim and Lamed Chesam and Aleph. So what does that mean? What that means is that he holds we don't pass them like them. Why would we pass them like them? Because presumably, and that's what the Taz seems to be saying in Sif Katan Vav about the Ramah and Sif Vav. That's, I think, what the Shach might be driving at also. The Rambam understood that's a machlokas, Hasugi, it's a machlokas, Amaram. That's Kedarko Shal Rambam. He was comfortable doing that. He was open to say, more open than the Bali, much more open than the Bali Atosis, to assume machlokas Hasugi. I don't need to figure out a dialectic teretz to fit the two sugis together. Not the same name, so it's a machlokas, and let's figure out how we paskin. And since the Rambam's writing a sefer of halacha, so he will quote the shitos that we paskin like, and he will leave out the shitos we don't paskin like, so he'll be mashman, a whole piece of Gemara, because of some other sugya that disagrees. So that's what's going on here. He left out the Rambam in Macholos Asuras, Perek Yudzayin, halacha, Tes Zayin. All he says about the sugya is Bishlo Yisrael Ma'at Bishul Be'Betchiv Sof Mutter. Say Niach Hagoy Basar Kidei Hafach Yisrael, or Niach Yisrael V'Gamar Gai Mutter. That's it. Which is basically quoting, as we saw, it's quoting Amid Beis, and it's quoting going back Lama Ches Amaral. It's quoting Shmuel, but not the later Amaram's interpretation of Shmuel. It's quoting Tanya Ami Hachi at the bottom. What does that mean? So he understands that the Lamed Chesam and Aleph, the Gemara is quoting one set of Amoram who had a particular interpretation of Shmuel, but Rachma Yitzhak and Lamed Chesam and Beis disagreed. Because the Amoram and Lamed Chesam and Aleph assumed that we're applying a regular Gidrei Bishul L'chol Torah Kula. So they're handling about Machal Bedrasayim. And Rabbi Yochanan himself talks about Machal Bedrasayim, which the Rambam, you'll notice, leaves out. Interestingly, Rabbi Yochanan on the days is not so Bishul oriented, and Rachma Yitzchak is not oriented to Bishul at all. Rachma Yitzchak is talking about that the Gemara is even more important than the Haskalah. From a Hilchos Bishul perspective, that's not true. Sometimes more than one person can be chai for Bishul. If you put food in the Reuven puts food in the fire on Shabbos, Rachman Aslan, and the Shimon comes by and stirs it, it could be they're both chai for Bishul, potentially. But sort of the main act of Bishul is the beginning. So Nachma Yitzchak, in saying that this Kal V'Chomer is clearly expressing a different approach than the Amaram on Amud Aleph. Okay, so that begins to explain why the Rambam and the Ramah, and this is not the way the Beis Yosef read the Rambam. The Rambam really means this also, but it is the way the Taz and I think the Shach are reading things. That's where they're reading the Ramah, and the Chor does try it in the Rambam as well. That we taka leave out, we don't paskin like the Amaram and Amud Aleph, and therefore, if we follow the literal meaning of Shmuel, that if a Jew puts a food on the fire, even though the non-Jew did all the bishul, all the halachic bishul. The Jew put the food in the fire in a place that never you could have sat there for hours, wouldn't have gotten cooked. So that's also mutter. So you say, well, that's like an Achma Yitzhak. So it still requires a little bit of hesber, especially since it's a little fight saying that's from Achma Yitzhak. After all, Achma Yitzhak was focused on the Gemara. Here is saying that the Jew could, Sifav, Rama is saying the Jew could do an insignificant haschala and it'll be mutter. So how does that align with Nachma Yitzchak? So what we saw is that the Rambam himself really gives us the Hezber in a number of places. In Halacha Tazayin, just as it did. The Yisrael did Ma'at Bishulo Bein Betchilo Bein Besof, which is based on the language of the second member of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Rav Chana b'shem Yechon on Lam Chesna Beis. But earlier he explains more, because moving to that second set of kashas, kissim. Tosfos is so upset about kissim. How does kissim work? How does kissim work? And bechlal, we said the whole idea of shigiras Yisrael, that I lit the fire. How does that help anything? If you look at the Rambam lays it out fantastically. If you take a look at the Halacha Yud Gimel, which is back in the Pas Akum Halachos, because the Rambam again was followed the Sephardi approach that had that shigira is only for Pas. Gimel Hidlak Agoy Satan Alpha Yisrael Hidlak Yisrael Alpha Goy Hidlak Agoy Alpha Goy Bo Yisrael Venir Ma Aish Maat Kvasho Aish. So he says that's mutter holding the shlat of melechas hapas. I feel as dark as eitz atoch hatana. Hashlachas kissim. Hit the call pas cool shabbat. Why? She ain't had davar ela lios hecker shapasha and asura.
He says, you know why hashlachas kissim is mutter? I didn't really part. You can't say I was busy afia. Hilcha Shabbos, I probably wouldn't be chayiv for afia. The answer is, he said, you don't need afia. Is that what we saw? Rav Nachman Yitzchak is clearly not working with Gidrei Bishul. What is he working with? He's working with Hecker. Hecker, to know, you should have something to remember that their pas is aser. As a matter of fact, the language of the Rambam, even earlier, we just read earlier, a couple lines earlier, he said, he described the Jewish participation as exactly that. Nishtatef b'meleches hapas. He was a shutef in the work of the bread. He didn't say you're an ofer. You were shutef. You participated. I don't need bishul. I just need a hecker. As a matter of fact, even earlier, he also says that. These are, you know, the Rambam introduces a new din daraisa, a mitzvah. He introduces a mitzvah daraisa. He'll almost invariably open by saying, mitzvah sasei, to do such and such, and here's the pasuk, or mitzvah lo sasei, not do such and such, and here's the pasuk. So these are din drabanan. So he doesn't obviously call it a mitzvah, but he does use a similar style of sort of naming the dinim before listing a brief thumbnail portrait, the basic definition, before elaborating. So that's what he does halacha test. The beginning of the perek from perek designed from halacha aleph through halacha ches was the halachas of kelim, hagolas kelim, tefilas kelim. Halacha test, he switches to Torah Machal Yaakov. Yesham Tvar Machem Asros and Chachamim, Perik Yizan Halacha test. Afish Ainli Yisurin Iker Min HaTorah. Still, those are Lenke Yil Hitzrachek Min HaGoyim. Actually, it's Arvin Yisrael Vyad Dabal Dei Chasus. So he lays that right away. We have a series of Machalos Asur, Machal Yaakov, which are Asur because of Xerim Chasnus, the Eilu Hain, drinking wine with them, even if it's not Yein Esach. And lechol pitan o bishulehen afilu b'makam she'en lachush legiulehen. To eat it, even if there's no concern of the giul. So right away, he's very upfront about chasnas. And then when he begins to introduce us, halachas Yud Beis, Yud Yud Aleph is about the drinking with an achri, mesiba shel nachrim shecher akum, Yud Beis Yud Gimel is pas akum, and then he begins bishel akum Yud Dalet. And he says, the nachri cooked wine, he cooked chol, he cooked dvash, a davar shenach kmo shulchai is mutter, lo gazer al davar she'en nach kmo shulchai, you have something that's not nach kmo shulchai, im bishel an hagoy mitchil v'atzov, v'lo, Nishtatef Yisrael Imo Bevishulon. He says if the Nachri did all the cooking and the Jew was not Mishtatef, he doesn't say the Jew didn't cook. In other words, if the guy did all the cooking but the Jew is Mishtatef, even though from a Gidrei Bishul perspective it was the guy's Bishul, if the Jew did a Hishtatfus, that would already make it Mutter. He's very clear about it, very clear about Halacha Gimel in the context of Pas and Kisim. And Shigira is very clear by Halacha Yud Aleph. And this leads us to a point we made
earlier when we began Hilchos Bishul Akum, which is that the Gemara presents the Tav Lam Ches Amud Aleph two criteria that a food has to meet in order to be susceptible to Bishul Akum, or to be vulnerable to Bishul Akum. Has to be Nechel Kmo Shulchai, which Rambam already articulated Halacha Yedalad, and has to be Ol Shulchan Lachem, which Rambam goes on to articulate Halacha Tezvah. The Medvav Amurim, Davash Ol Shulchan Lachem, this day Ol Shulchan Lachem, and there's no concern of Bishul Akum, even though Nachri cooked it. Sheik, why? Ik, said, number one, you notice, even before you get to the why, you know, as I think we pointed then, it seems like they're not really, the two criteria are both critical, but they're not working the same way. It sounds like, and this is consistent with this Pashat Pshat, although the Mishnah Berurah disagrees, Pashat Pshat, the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos Perek Tes, he talks about Bishul, that the Rambam seems to have understood that Nechal Kmo Shuchai isn't Bishul. Simply in the Rambam is that if you bake an apple on Shabbos, since we ate apples raw, even though a baked apple is gourmet, but since we eat apples raw, you're not chayv. It's a drabbanon, starfully soon drabbanon probably, but you're not, the Rambam seems to say you're not chayv. Why? So, please, in a couple of years, if we get to a Hilchos Shabbos together, I'll have a chance to see that inside. Rabbi Pashas Rambam understands that the definition of Bishul, determined by food, is rendering a food edible using heat. So if it's already edible, kashem that once it's fully edible and I reheat the leftovers, that's that Bishul, neither in Hilchos Shabbos nor in Bishul Akum, as we discussed. Again, it may be aser midrabanan to put food on the fire, as it exerts or shia chazar, but it's not melechas Bishul to put already cooked food on the fire, ein Bishul acha Bishul. So Rambam understands, or if it wasn't cooked, but it's edible as is, it's edible raw. I have a carrot, I have an apple. So simple reading of the Rambam is it's not a malacha derisa of Bishul, because you're not making it edible. It already is. That's what Rambam is saying here too. Okay? If the Nachri took carrots, cooked carrots, the Nachri baked an apple, it's not Bishul Akum, because it's not Bishul. Well, we'll discuss Bli Neder coming up. Let's say Nachri did other things to food besides Bishul. He pickled it. He salted it. That's not Bishul Akum. So here too, this is not Bishul. You made it taste better, but it wasn't Bishul because it was already edible. But then, so that's sort of Gidre Bishul. But the other aspect, the other criterion, isn't part of the basic definition. The basic definition of Bishul Akum Halach Yudal. And he said, it has to be that was the very first thing he tells you, it has to be a Davar that's not Nechal Chai, because otherwise it's not Bishul. But then he says, I already defined Bishul Akum, but you should, but Medvah Amurim also has to be Al Shulchan Lachem. He goes on to say very clearly, we already saw this a couple of weeks ago, he says, the reason why we care about Al Shulchan Lachem is because Ikrak Zerim Shem Chasnus. The whole concern is about the, if you can, in unfettered fashion, eat with an Achri, so we're worried about the socialization, the over-socialization that may result, and Rachman al-Zan that may bring to chasnas. So it's mamish, gorgeous, because there are Gidrei Bishul that go into Bishul Akum. It's not a Bishul Akum unless you have Gidrei Bishul. So one way something could be mutter is there was no, the guy didn't do a Bishul. For instance, a Jew cooked it. Okay, a Jew cooked this, a Bishul Akum, or the Jew, the Nachri cooked Davar Shnech Kmo Shulchai. Or we'll go on to discuss the Mitzvah going forward. The Nachri did something other than Bishul. He pickled it. Okay, we'll have to discuss it. You know, what's the story with smoking? But then, sometimes something is Bishul Akum. The Nachri cooked it, but it's still Mutter because there isn't a Chashash Chasnas. If Nishtatef HaYisrael, either it's Ol HaShulchan, it's not Ol HaShulchan Lachem, the Nachri cooked it. This is, the Nachri took a potato and sliced it and fried it. And I have potato chips. It's okay, that is Bishul Akum. Potatoes are inedible raw. And the Nachri did the entire job from beginning to end. There was no Jewish involvement whatsoever. It is Bishul Akum. It's food that the Nachri cooked. But it's not, it's still mutter because there's a reduced chashash chasnas. because I'll be pastures, potato chips, now I'll shalchem lachem. Okay. So that's not only pshat in Ol Shalchem Lachem. There are other ways in which something could be mutter because it's insufficient concern of chasnus. So the Ra'al had given us a long list that we've been exploring the last couple of weeks. Right? That was the big super machlokas rajbara with many, many nafkaminas. Here's another one. The Ra'al himself, remember, had one line thrown in there, but shlachas kissim fits into this picture. Matter of fact, the Rama would say this whole question of Nishtatef Yisrael. That's how the Rambam, the gorgeous Rambam, the end of Halach Yadalad. It's going to be also if Bishlam HaGoy Mitchil Vatsof, V'lo Nishtatef Yisrael Mo'v Vishulo. Number one, it is Bishul Nachri, and the Jew didn't save it by doing a Hishtatzvus, which would have taken out the concern of Chasnas. How is Hishtatzvus takes out the concern of Chasnas? That's what the Rambam is telling us. It's a hecker. You don't have to. If the Jew actually does the bishul avad, it's mutter. But even if he didn't do something that begidre bishul is bishul, as long as he participated, it's mutter. Why? Because that's a hacker. What do you mean it's a hacker? Now we see what the Rambam means by a hacker. Hacker means the chashash chasnus is reduced. How is the chashash chasnus reduced? Because I said the Jew has to go back into the kitchen in the back and stir the wok. Oh, and by the way, so the other aspect we spoke about, that Sfaradim assume that dealing with the fire, involving the fire is only significant when it comes to pas. When it comes to bishul, Sfaradim assume that whatever participation you need has to be with the food itself. So by the way, that means that the way Ashkenazi hashkachos eliminate a problem of bishul akum in a restaurant is the mashgiach turns on the stove. That's not going to help for us Sfaradi. To be kosher for a Sfaradi means that there's either the customer himself or the mashgiach, someone's not just turning on the fire, someone's actually stirring the wok. So I don't understand. You're going to reduce chasnas by telling the Jew to go back and stir the wok? Isn't that worse? Now he's interacting with a non-Jewish cook. Right? Or pick it up, put it back in. Whatever the pick it up, put it back on might be problematic. Maybe not. Okay, but why? I'm telling the Jew, get involved. That'll reduce chasnas. Isn't there more interaction between the Jew and the non-Jewish cook? And the answer is no. What hecker means, you just need a reminder. You don't actually have to cook it, but you have to be doing something that reminds you this is a weird situation. Something's, and you need a speed bump. Something to remind you, this isn't a totally smooth situation. Yeah, there's a concern. I have to handle the situation gingerly. That alone is already enough to eliminate the concern of chasnas. If it's just free and easy, I can eat to the nachi without any wrinkles. So now you're saying itself a situation where sooner or later, for some percentage of the population, that eating is going to lead to over socialization, rachmal tzlan, can lead to interdate intermarriage. But if there's always, I can eat his food, but only if I went back and turned the fire. Only if I went and stirred the wok. Yeah, I interacted with the Nachri cook for an extra couple of moments. But the point was, there was a wrinkle there. It was like, it was an odd, we're creating an odd situation. It's a hecker. Like the Lechi or Korah. It's a reminder, here things are a little different than usual. And that'll remind me, it's the tzitzis, so to speak. It reminds me, I have to be on guard to socialize only to the right extent and not to get into a chasnas yellow zone or red zone. Oh, so now everything's gevaldic. You put together, again, the Rambam in halacha to an extent, halacha tes, and certainly halacha yud gimel, and halacha yud dalet, and tes vav, and tes zayin, and you see this, and all that helps you to appreciate what's going on in halacha tes zayin. By the time you got Lachat Zayin, which you began, the source of Ramon Sevav, he doesn't have to yet again chazer over the lumdus. He already laid it out numerous times. But now we understand what he's driving at. Now he begins to, what was the machlokes that sugyus? The Amaram and Amon Aleph understood that this whole din of Hishtatfus, it has to, why is it mutter? Kamash malan that this is mutter. That's the Gemara started. Kamash malan. Ah, what is the kruvi? Bishul kamash malan is mutter. What's a kamash? Why is it mutter? So Amram and Amram Alf, you don't know who they are, the anonymous Amram and Amram Alf, so they understood that Jewish participation is mutter. Does Bishul Akum is aser if it's only Bishul Ha'akum. If it's Bishul Akum vi Yisrael, so then it's mutter. That seems to be the approach of Amram and Amram Alf. So the Jews' participation has to be such that the Bishul is no longer exclusively the Bishul of the Nachri, but it's a shared Bishul Nachri v'Yisrael. But Rav Nachman Yitzchak didn't think that. He wasn't focused on Bishul. Well, he was focused on the end. Why was he focused on the Gemar? So you understand well from the Rama Halacha Tezvav. Because the Gemar is where the main concern of Chasnas is. That's what Allah Shulchan Aruch was all about the Gemar. What's the finished product like? It's the finished product that makes it socially significant, that makes this a potential vehicle for chasnas. So Rav Nachman Yitzchak is saying it's not about Jewish participation doesn't make it mutter because it changes from Bishul Nachri to Bishul Nachri v'Yisrael. It makes it mutter because if it's Bishul Nachri but Nishtatif HaYisrael, so now that's a hecker that eliminates external chasnas. Ah, so then so many things fall into place. Now, number one, we understand why Rav Nachman Yitzchak would disagree with the Amoraim and Amud Aleph and would say, as the Rambam indicates, and the Rambam says Beferish, the Jew got started to begin, put on the fire, but it was too far to even cook at all. So why is that? That's not Gemara, that's Haschala. Yeah! It's not that Rav Nachman Yitzchak requires Dafka Gemara. He said Beferish, Haschala is fine too. The point is, you need Hecker, you need Hishtatfus. So that's my Hishtatfus. I put the food on the fire. Okay, it wouldn't have actually have cooked, but I put the food on the fire. That's adequate Hishtatfus. And now we understand the second set of kashas also. Shigiras ha'tanur, lighting the fire is a significant, even though the food isn't there yet, certainly a significant participation, adequate heker. Again, Ashkenazim say it's even adequate participation for cooked food. The Sfaradim say it's only adequate participation for baking. Tov. And now shigiras ha'tanur, but kisim, and even eish me'eish. They're not acts of Bishul, but they are a type of Hishtatvus that potentially makes a hecker. Potentially makes a hecker. Again, there may be Rishonim who accept the idea, but might disagree on how far you push it. Maybe some Rishonim would say, I agree that the hecker is enough, but Eish Me'eish, maybe that isn't even enough of a hecker. Like the fact that you were here a year ago, the pilot, okay, so those are already in the details. But in concept, it's once you accept hecker, it's gevaldic. And now, by the way, go back to the Tosfos. Go back to the Tosfos. The top Tosfos on the Chesed Beis. Mikula shmaitin mashva inan sheheh Yisrael makar bishul. From the whole sugya, said Tosfos. Okay, read carefully. The whole sugya indicates you need bishul ha-Yisrael. That you must be involved in the bishul. I ashlachas kisim. He says, well, it's a machlokas ha-ga'onin. They tell you on the side, ayin rosh, simon lamed gimel. Look at the rosh, simon lamed gimel. He comes to Tosfos and expands. So it's a little bit difficult. Ga'onim against the Gemara. Yeah, but you know what the Rambam would say? You know, the Rambam quoted very calmly. He quoted kisim. Where is he quoting kisim from? He didn't make it up himself. The Rambam tells us, anytime he says his own chiddush, he's going to say Yirah Ali. He didn't say Yirah Ali. So where do you get kisim from? He already quoted in Halacha Gimel. He already quoted the three steps of Ravina. Hidlik Gaiv Afa Yisrael, Hidlik Yisrael Afa Gaiv, or Hidlik Gaiv Afa Gaiv Bo Yisrael Venir. Then he goes on to say, Afilo Zarg Ela Eitzus Al Chataner. Where is that coming from? Hashlachas Kisim. So that is, he's quoting, the source he's quoting, presumably, is these Gaonim, these Chilufei Minhagim between Bnei Bavel, Bnei Eretz Yisrael. Right? Bnei Bavel Mashlich, as the Tosfos records. Eval Mashiach and Kisim, Bnei Mariv said, Kisim ze mamalo mamorim. Rama was calling the Gaonim approvingly. Why? Gaonim against the Gemara. That's Tosa says, Gaonim against the Gemara. That's a difficult place to be. The Rambam has no hesitations. And the Rama has no hesitations. Why? Because it's not against the Gemara. It's against the Gemara Namad Aleph. It's in line with the Gemara Namad Beis. Tosus l'shitasam, kedarkam, assume that Tosus general mahalach, Rabbeinu Tam's meta chiddush in learning, 1,001, 10,001 chiddush in particular sugyas, but his meta chiddush, as we talked about yesterday, was to consistently do to the Tanaim to the Gemara is what the Gemara does to the Tanan, which is to assume no machlokas unless otherwise specified. And so you're going to have to miyashev the Gemaras, the dialectic teretz. As we said, the Marsha and Sota comments about Rashi, and the Gra comments to an extent about the Rambam, and the Rif and part of the Balamara are much more comfortable than the Balei Tosfos say machlokas azugis. Because it's the same name, can't be machlokas azugis. So Tosfos Kedarkim says, what do you mean? The sugya said, you need kira bishul, you need bishul, hashlachas kisim. As the B'nai Eretz Yisrael, B'nai Marav ask, the Gaoni Eretz Yisrael say, what's the kisim do? What was the language? Kisim ze ma'amal ma'morid. What do you mean? It does nothing, meaning it's not a bishul. What are the B'nai Bavel saying? I don't need bishul. I need a heker. That's how the Rambam explained the sheet of B'nai Bavel. And why is Rambam posturing like the Gaon Bavel against the Gemara? The answer is because l'chora the Rambam holds that the machlokas Gaonim is already a machlokas Amoraim. It's the same issue. The Gaon Eretz Yisrael, the Bnei Marav, they are aligned with the Amoraim and Amoraim. That's all about bishul. So kissim mamala lamav lamorid. It's not a bishul. While the Bnei Bavel who embrace kissim, that's aligned with Amaveis. That's the line of Nachma Yitzchak and Ravina. So the Rama who understood that's the Machlokas HaSugyas, so good. So then a couple centuries later, it was the Machlokas HaGonim. That's fine. So we paskin like the Amaram and Amaveis, maybe in part because he sees that as root, as aligned with the fact that we paskin that in all Shulchan Lachim is Mutter. So maybe we pass them like the Gaon Bavel, because the Gaon Bavel are aligned with Nachum Yitzchak and Ravina, the Amoraim of Amud Beis. This is Kedavik. And it means that the Rambam is aligned with the Ra'ah. Or maybe we should say the Ra'ah is aligned with the Rambam. As a matter of fact, it could even be that if you trace it back, this is a source. It could even be that Lamed Ches Amud Aleph, Lamed Ches Amud Beis, this is the source of the whole issue. If a stira between Lama Chesna and Lama Chesna Beis. Ah! The Nachum Yitzchak is the one who's telling us! Hecker! Hecker! What does that hecker mean? Remember, the Ra'ad mentioned kissim. What does hecker mean? Hecker means that it's not a loplug. That's exactly the Ra'ad versus the Rashba. That if there's reduced chasnas, then it'll be mutter. That's exactly how the Rambam was reading things. And that, by the way, Abosai, is why the Rashba l'shitaso. Here we come to the last of the kashas, the third Shver Ramah, Sif Tes. The Rashba l'shitaso, it said, ooh, you know, if there were two rounds of Bishul, so the Gemara and Lamed Ches Aleph spoke of the two rounds of Bishul, Yisrael first, Nachri second. The Rashba says, well, if the two rounds of Bishul all the way around, Nachri first, Yisrael second. And the Rashba says, if Nachri got to Machal Ben Yisrael and took it off, you're done. Game over. No way to fix it. Why did the Rashba say that? Because the Rashba l'shitaso holds low plug. The Rashba holds that historically the historical background for the Takana Bishul Akum was a concern of chasnas, but it's irrelevant to the application of the dinim. It's a low plug. Regular machalos asurus, regular tam kikir, regular bias and kalim. We don't make it. The Rashba never says anything to make an exception for a chola the way the Ra'ah does, and so on and so forth. So l'shitaso also, he says hishtatvus Yisrael is all about the bishul. It's all about is Yisrael participate in the Bishul. Say it's all about Gidrei Bishul. That's what he says. Look, Yisrael puts it back on the fire, but it's already got to Malchum and Jusai Biyad Nachri. So done. What's the help to put it back on the fire? But the Rosh says no. Because the Rosh, at least in principle, again, he may not apply it as far as the Rambam or the Ramah, but the Rosh in principle already accepts this idea that it's about the Gemara, meaning it's about it could be mutter even though begidre bishul. The bishul was totally done by the Nachri. The Nachri puts it on the fire, gets it to Machal Mejusai, and takes it off. Bishul was done. You could get involved, which I don't want right now, the sugya name bishul achar bishul, primarily Hilchos Shabbos issue. But even without that. But the it wasn't fully cooked, and then the Jew puts it back on. So he's doing a gemar. That's certainly a hecker. So it all works out. everything, all the three Ramahs fall into place, all the kashas fall into place, the difficult Rambam and the difficult Rif, everything falls into beautiful place. Once you see it as a machlokas asudis, machlokas amaruam, about this very, very fundamental issue. Is it all about the Gidrei Bishul, or can Hecker alone save the day, because it's not a low plug, and when there's reduced concern of chasnas, then it will be mutter. So then now, just to wrap up the halacha l'maisa, where does this leave us? Bottom line halacha l'maisa. So once a Jew puts it on the fire, the Jew puts the food on the fire, as long as it stays on until machal ben drusai, mutter. Yeah, Jew puts on fire, comes off while machal ben drusai, so that wasn't the bishul. The bishul only happened later. If the non-Jew puts it back on the fire before machal ben drusai, so that is the act. We do have to begin by figuring out where is the act of bishul. If it was on the fire more than once, but if a Jew puts it on, even if he put it on in a very inadequate way, and the Nachri shoved it in far enough that it'll actually cook, but the round which the Jew began was got to Machal ben Drusai, then it is mutter. Or if the Jew lit the fire, and for Ashkenazim, even by Bishul, the Jew lit the fire, or even the Jew contributed to the fire. He threw in one more kissing. Or even if the Jew lit the preliminary fire from which this fire was lit, all those are adequate participation by the Yisrael to make it mutter. If the Nachri already put it on, that's usually how you want to set it up. The Jew sets it up in advance, ofna mutter. If the Nachri already put it on the fire, so how are you going to save it? So the first rule is stop and think. You see Gevalt. I had asked the Nachri to prep the soup, to cut the vegetables. Nachri decided to be helpful, not only cut the vegetables, but actually put it on the fire, as the case may be. I asked the Nachri to prep the fish, and he or she didn't just prep it, but put it on the grill, right? When Nachri wants to surprise me with my favorite Spanish omelet, whatever the case may be, I walk in, the food's already cooking, so the first thing to do is stop, freeze, and think. Because that's often a generally good rule in life. Zahirus, B'shas Maisa, Ramchal would refer to it. Because many people would have the initial reaction of, the reflex is, better get off the fire right away. Or turn off the fire. Like you walk in, the Nachri put the soup on the fire. Gevalt, I better turn off the fire. That might be the worst thing you could do. Because if the Nachri put on the fire and it's already Machal ben Drusai, then you would turn off the fire. Now, it may or may not be the worst thing you can do. Certainly if it's already Mavushal Chol Tzarko, it's the worst thing you could do. The best thing you can do is stop and think. And then you see the food's on the fire, no problem. Get involved. Turn the fire up a little bit. Or stir. Do something in that Maisa Bishul itself, and then it's Heter Gamur. And then it's Heter Gamur. If it came off the fire, if you turned off the fire, or if the Nachri Rei took it off the fire, so then, as we said, L'maisa of the Ramah is Mekel, and that is the position I see of many Rishonim that they quote in the parentheses, and the Shach, the Sifkan Yudal, also says Haskamas Rama Poslim like Rama. That's Mutter. There's a Maharshal, was roughly contemporary of the Rama, who was Machmir like the Rashba. Pesachet Shuvah quotes, and the Shach says Pesachet Shuvah quotes that the Shalat says, oh, we should Machmir for the Maharshal. The Shach says no, we hold like the Rama against the Maharshal. So again, if you can avoid it, better not to turn the fire off. But if the fire is off, assume there's still more cooking to do, so then turn the fire back on. One last point, two points, one we'll leave for next time, and one I'll mention very briefly now. The point that's going to come up for next time, the hanging thread is we had mentioned when we were working through the Gemara yesterday, when the Gemara is at Taina Mihachi, that the Jew leaves the Nachri with the food, and the Jew goes to Shul, to Beis Medrash, to Merchatz, to Shuk, and then comes back. So that's a Bishul Akum issue, but there's also a question, there's also a Nemanis question. You don't even know what happened while you were gone. So that's actually going to be Sif Yud Alef, where we're going next. It's going to raise other interesting issues. It's a question of Suffolk. Suffolk and Emanus, it comes up in the context of our sugya of Jewish participation. It's really a separate discussion, so we'll pick up with that mitzvah next time. That's Sif Yud Alef. The other direction which we're going next time, mitzvah, will be the question of other methods of food preparation. Hot smoking, cold smoking, microwaving, and so on and so forth. And one other final point here, in terms of the halacha l'maisa, this obviously comes up in industrial settings also. As part of giving the hashgacha, we mentioned, as part of giving the hashgacha on a factory is that, or a restaurant, so you're making sure that there's no bishlakam problems. You have to determine, is this a bishlakam sensitive food? We spoke about a couple weeks ago. And if it is a bishlakam sensitive food, so that's going to make it much more, it's going to add significantly to the labor costs of giving hashgacha, because if cranberry jelly is not bishul akum sensitive because it's nechus moshuchai, let's say, so then I just have to have a mashgiach who yotzev v'nechnas nechnas, so it makes random spot checks to make sure that the ingredients are kosher, kalim are kosher, and all the protocols are being followed. He doesn't have to be there for every single run, as long as he randomly shows up. But if it's bishul akum sensitive, so then every single run, you have to have a Jew turn on the boiler for the that's going to heat the steam, that's going to cook the, that's going to can the food. So it's obviously much more labor intensive, especially talking about tuna fish, sending people out, mashkichim out for every single run of canning fish in the South Pacific, is obviously going to significantly raise the cost of a hashkacha. So there are different hamsa'os for how you can streamline that. So already, I think in the 90s, OU had this idea of, so cute and quaint to look at it now, you're going to have what if we had a telephone-operated system by which you have a switch in the oven and you have to call in and enter a code that only the mashgiach knows to turn on the oven. So they had it, now they would say, you have an app. That was telephones used to be things you made phone calls on, and they had physical buttons, and they were usually wired to the wall. But it's the same concept. So that's an interesting thing to think about. Rav Heinemann of the Star K, the leading postkim in Baltimore, see, he has a shita that he's certainly a very significant Talmud Chacham shita. That happens to be a shita that many others do not accept. That's relevant when you're using the Star K for something that's bishul akum sensitive. Heinemann had, I don't know if he always relied on it, but he has this hamsa. He says, how are you gonna set up a hashlachas kisim in a more efficient way? He said, you'll have a bulb. You have a big oven, the oven's gonna go on and off. You have a little electric bulb on the side, they're just gonna stay, it's not a switch, it's just gonna stay. The Jew's gonna, mashkiach comes, he puts in the bulb, done. It's giving him 5 watts of heat, whatever it is, 5 watt bulb, 20 watt bulb, 30 watt bulb, it gives a drop of heat, and that's your hashlachas kisim in advance. The bulb stays on, and the bulb stays on for a couple of years, and we're all good. So it's interesting, Hamtza, I think most kashrus organizations do not accept the Star K bulb, because although we go very far with Hecker, and kisim is an insignificant amount of wood, but lamaisa, it's a part of what you're using to cook. There is a big fire that has a lot of wood, and that's what's cooking the food. I contribute a tiny drop of wood to that fire. I'm Moshe Enkin over here, where the fire is over there and the bulb is over here, it's mamash no tziruf, so that already is l'chora, according to most poskim, not kisim. It's not ishmeish, it's not causing the fire to go on, the actual cooking fire to go on, and it's not a part of the cooking fire, so that's a question of how far you can take this.